And we are back. Welcome to another episode of Back in Session. We are your hosts. My name is Dimitri Sebastian.
And I'm Wes Kendall. Welcome back, guys.
All right. So how are you doing?
Pretty good, bro. Been a good week so far. I'm actually, looking forward to this next year not like most of the times. I'm like, oh, God damn it. So I'm pretty proud of myself on that.
Oh, so we have a big year, actually.
Yes.
See, all those memes that we can't relate to now, we can finally say, like, no, we're big and bad. We do things.
I mean, finally, I can finally not relate to those depressing New Year's memes,
Hear that, Mom? I'm not as sad as I was last year.
Exactly. She'll be happy to hear that.
Yeah, I'm actually a little bit upset right now, but I got two negatives and one positive, and I'm going to sandwich them.
Okay.
So I got some dental work done. I got a small filling, and it was great for like a week. And now I can't eat things on my left side. It hurts. Ooh. And I've officially become one of those people. Well, it's not even a cool thing. Like, if I floss, it hurts. If I chew, it hurts. And it's better now, but it still hurts. And I've become one of those people where I'm like, well, it hurts less, so I guess that means I'm fine. But then I realized that I have health care and I can afford to go to a dentist, so I should probably just go. I'm not in college anymore.
Was it an LHI filling?
No, I went to my own guy, which is why it's upsetting, because LHI told me I needed to go. LHI is the Army Reserve's way of telling you that you're broken in some way. And if you are in the Reserve or Guard and you work with LHI, I highly recommend you do not take any medical services from those individuals.
Right.
Please.
Oh, man. They're like, oh, your tooth looks infected. We're going to give you a root canal, and it's like not even that bad because they make like $1,000 off of it.
I know. That's what they told me. And I went into my doctor's like, no, it's a small cavity. I'm like, that lady told me I was probably going to need to lose the whole tooth.
Right.
All right. We're going off on it.
Okay.
But the thing that made me happy, surprisingly, the little things in life, I saw a picture of a happy baby toucan.
Oh,
and I did not know, I had never thought about baby toucans once in my life, but I highly recommend you Google it.
I'm going to Google it right now.
Because they are adorable. The other bat, but I'm going to sandwich it. It's so
cute. Look at this little guy.
It's so cute.
Its beak is like, I don't know. It looks like it's
like
a
half
toy
a banana. It's like half a little banana. Yeah. With my face in it. They just look so cute. Then you see them as adults, and I mean, they're pretty birds, but I mean, you want to put that guy in your pocket.
Right? Look at that. I want a pet. Wow,
you probably need a license for this.
Thoroughly tangented, by the way. Thorough tangent.
Don't worry. I'm going to bring us back. Don't worry. My second negative for the negativity sandwich is getting us back on track. So I've made a classic blunder. I always go on Amazon and I buy my Isopure protein powder. And I usually just get vanilla. Because vanilla is smart. You can put some PB2 in it,
right?
Or you can put some cocoa powder or some fruit. Like, you can do pretty much anything with vanilla powder. But of course, I was getting to the end of my bucket and I was thinking to myself, I'm kind of tired of eating this. Or drinking it preferably. And I'm going to try something dangerous. I'm going to spice it up and have a great time. So what did I do? I ordered like 5 pounds cinnamon bun.
You got the 5 pound?
Yeah, I'm stupid.
That's the big one.
I know, I'm stupid.
Oh my God.
I think I got it on sale though. I think it was only like 50 bucks maybe.
Oh, wow.
So, now you see, I told you about this earlier and you're like,
it's like the 3 pounder.
No, mistakes were made.
Okay.
Mistakes were made. And the first like two servings of it were like pretty solid. I was like, oh yeah, this is a fun flavor.
Right.
I hate it now. I despise it. I'm not even like a third of the way through it. The other day I made a mistake and I tried to make a fruit smoothie with it by putting a scoop of vanilla, a scoop of the cinnamon, and then some fruit stuff in it. That cinnamon just shines right on through.
It's so strong. It's like you can't avoid it.
Yeah. So,
yeah. Well,
so this gets us into our topic for today. We're talking about supplements.
Right. Supplements today, guys. All the fun stuff that people love to focus on in their training.
So what's on the agenda?
So today we're going to start out talking about protein powder, different types that we like, we don't like. Then go into more of like the health supplements as far as like, what we take or recommend for, just maintaining micronutrient, macronutrient levels. And then touch on nootropics just a little bit. That'll be interesting. And then from there we get a little bit more exciting, guys. So you got to stick around towards the end where we go into like more of the muscle building supplements, pre-workouts, even some old school sketchy stuff that I've seen around in the game, since I'm such an old man out here.
And we're talking about school. It's spelled S-K-O-O L.
So you know it's...
Because we are too cool for school.
Yes, exactly. So yeah, you know, some exciting stuff. Back in the day, back in 2008, there was no rules back in the Wild West.
There's still no rules.
It was like, I'm telling you, man, there is some crazy shit back then.
It used to be worse.
So I'm excited. You guys are going to love that. So stick around for that.
All right, let's roll right into it. Actually, I wanted to talk about something briefly. I'm sure you've seen this vegan documentary debate on Joe Rogan.
Of course. Of course, I've seen it.
I don't think I need to give a in-depth explanation about how I feel about being vegan, because I think it's a life choice. And if it works for you, I think that's actually great. And I'm never going to stomp on anyone for that. But holy shit, that document, what was it called? Game Changers?
Game Changers, yes.
Game Changers. I just disagreed with so much, but at a fundamental level, however, it kind of felt like they were giving good science. However, so then Joe Rogan has this guy who we recently discovered was an acupuncturist who is not a nutritionist come on, and he said that the whole documentary was bunk. And both of us were like, hell yeah, this is dumb. We agree with him. I think I walked in today and you're watching the retort from the producer who's the vegan. And what are your thoughts right now after hearing some of that?
Well, they brought them both on. They brought the guy who created the documentary as well as the acupuncturist, self-proclaimed nutritionist, which I'm not saying I'm any better than that. Trust me, like, he's got more credentials than I do. But it was just kind of like over... I feel like it was overhyped, and the people that they brought on to talk about it were the wrong people to be having the conversation.
It became like a big semantic argument. I felt like it was two non-professionals talking about science that they didn't fully understand, and it just became kind of like a fist fight verbally.
Right. It was like they were attacking each other, not attacking the topic, right?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I thought it was going to be interesting. I was super excited about it. We were actually talking about having our own episode about it, and I am so glad we didn't.
Right, after that shenanigans.
Because clearly there was too much going on, and I did not want to be a part of that evil at all.
Right. But don't worry, guys. Next time one of these controversial documentaries come out, we're going to jump on it.
So. We're going to jump on it, and we're going to be wrong. We're going to be the guys. We're going to be a part of the problem, and that's our full intention.
Right.
Don't you guys worry.
It'll be fun for you. So,
all right. So what are the types of protein powder?
Okay. So, you know, people would say protein powder. Now that we're in 2019, we've got a lot more options than like Arnold did back in his day, you know, where he's just like, mix this milk in there with...
Milk is for babies.
Drink beer. Yes. So basically what we have now is a couple different routes people go. They either go with the whey protein, classic bro route, which, you know, most people who don't have serious lactose issues or, you know, inflammation from that enjoy.
Let's double down on the whey real quick, because I actually like that you brought up the lactose issue.
Yes.
There are, what, two types? Well, technically three types of whey protein. Mm-hmm. We have the mono and the isolate, and then you have the mixture of the two, correct?
Right. So those are the two that most people focus on is the isolated.
There's casein also.
Yes, that's also from milk. Yes, that's a slow releasing. So most people, they focus on either whey concentrate or whey isolate or some form of blend of the two, like you said. Mm-hmm. And like if you're just trying to get most bang for your dollar, I would say isolate concentrate blend is ideal.
Yeah.
But if you're like having issues with lactose, like that protein you got, it was a notorious or not notorious. That's the wrong word. It's known for having a very high quality, very isolated whey protein.
Well, that's why I ended up switching over to that one, because I started developing, I wouldn't say that I'm lactose intolerant, but as we were making, you know, the joke earlier, the good, the bad, the gassy.
Right.
I bought it was primarily mono, and it tasted amazing. It was a great protein. It was very, you know, chocolatey and fun. But, you know, my gastric system, I felt it every single time. That's not something that normally happens for me. So then I switched to the isolate, which is what I would say is I'm not as enthusiastic about my protein because it's a little bit like drinking skim milk.
Right. It tastes a little thin, right?
Yeah, it's not creamy and it's not as full-bodied. But man, it sits in your stomach so much better.
I feel like you digest it in like 20 minutes.
I think the only difference between them really, besides your preferences, the quality appears to be about the same for me. Is there any difference in like the protein availability between the three of them?
Yeah, so the isolate is supposed to be a little bit higher. I think if I remember from my back in my vitamin shop selling days, it's like 85% bioavailable in the concentrate, and then the isolate is like 94%, 95% bioavailable. But what it boils down to is, are you digesting it well or not?
You know? Was it the casein that is the one that's supposed to be better for people with lactose intolerance?
Well, there's actually a common casein allergy apparently out there too.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So people who take casein in high quantities, and I think I might have developed an allergy to it over time, you know, just for taking it for years, I started getting really bad heartburn and indigestion from it. Like every time I would drink it.
Well, I think we've all kind of done that thing where we end up taking too much protein at one time. Like, because I do two scoops in a serving. Right. And some people would make an argument and say that you shouldn't take that much all at once because it flushes through your body too quickly.
Right.
Do you have any strong opinions on that? Because I think it's just one of those things of like, it depends. And as long as you're getting the protein in, like, it counts. Or do you think that you need to spread them out?
I know this is something we touched on already, and we're going to continue to touch on it because it's a very abstract concept. But basically, it's like, if you, based on what your current training and diet is, if you are cutting a lot of carbs, you need to overeat on protein almost, because you're going to use that as opposed to burning your own muscle tissue. So that, in that situation like that, having more protein than you can initially absorb is not a bad thing. But if you are bulking and say you can only fit 6 ounces of protein in your stomach because you have to fit in so much other calories as well, then it's actually worse for you to overeat on protein. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes plenty of sense.
Cool.
So, okay, so obviously we have a preference here. We do whey protein. There's about a million different brands out there. You're going to have to test them. You know, it sucks to say it, but, you know, like Gold Standard used to be the gold standard. Unfortunately, I feel like they've made some changes to their formula in recent years. I don't know if you were aware of that. It is not as good, unfortunately.
I didn't know. What'd you hear about that?
So I looked into it, and I got a bottle of Gold Standard, and it didn't taste right. It was not mixing as well as it used to. And then basically the internet warriors went to battle for us. And there were some critical changes with
sure, they did, like,
the sweeteners
and stuff.
Yeah, it was the sweeteners. I didn't have to do testing. It's on the back.
Oh, wow.
Like, they were very open with it. They changed to a new type of sweetener, and they changed a couple of the smaller compounds that have to do, like, binding agents and such. And unfortunately, I don't think it's as solid of a product as it used to be.
Right.
However, I also think we need to be careful when we're looking at, like, every influencer seems to have, like, not everyone. A lot of them support certain brands, and most of them are legit, depending on how much you're willing to pay. But if you see a protein brand that you've never seen before being pushed, I highly recommend you do some research, because what you might be getting is just some dried out milk in a bucket, and it's not going to be as good as you hope it will. And you could, for the same exact price, go to, you know, Amazon or GNC, wherever it is you go, and get yourself, like, a nice, you know, isolate.
Right. You can't go wrong with an isolate because it's safe. You know, if you get 100% isolate, you know you're not going to, unless it's like complete false advertising, you're going to get something that is going to have a good quality protein source. And to be honest, like, a lot of these random brands, like on these Instagram brands, if they're, you know, a legit company that's not trying to screw people over, it's usually a pretty decent product, just a little overpriced.
Yeah, they typically come from the same distributors as the big brands.
All the whey protein comes from two places in the world. All the whey protein comes from only two places.
Wait, where?
It's in the Netherlands and the UK, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, I'm really glad, because I thought you were going to say, like, Bangladesh and Vietnam or something. I didn't know that. That's actually very interesting.
It's the company that actually owns not only Gold Standard, but BNS as well.
Okay, well, today I learned. Mm-hmm. So outside of whey protein, we have the plant proteins. And off the top of my head, I'm thinking, you know, like pea, hemp. What am I forgetting? There's rice one.
There's brown rice protein. There's soy, obviously. And then there's, like, blends of those several different types. They'll even have random ones like cranberry protein or barley protein.
Cranberry? I've heard of barley.
Mm-hmm.
Cranberry protein?
Yeah, that's actually in one of those popular ones. Like,
I bet you that shit's expensive if you were to go ahead and just go for that.
Yeah, what they're trying to do with that is they're trying to get as many types of amino acids in there as possible, because the issue with plant proteins is sometimes they don't have as much concentrations of some of the essential aminos, and that makes it so it's not as good of a quality of protein. So when you have different sources of protein, that fills in those gaps.
So the thing that I think has been good about plant protein in recent history is it's gotten so much better.
Tasting.
It used to be awful. You basically could only get plant protein by going to Whole Foods or Sprouts.
Right.
It'd be down in a corner, and there'd be a bunch of like little old, you know, granola ladies over there getting their plant-based protein, and it was like made of hemp, and it tasted like it tasted like a burlap dirt. Sack.
I mean, dirt and roots.
It was bad. And I think there were some companies like it was like Peace Science that came out with a plant-based protein that I actually thought was quite nice, and there's a few others. And it's I think that was one of the things that really flipped the script and allowed people who had that either they were, you know, vegan or vegetarian, they prefer not to use the animal products, or they had a lactose intolerance. And I like to hear that they're starting to mix those things together so they can get more of those, you know, aminos and stuff. Because at the end of the day, you were typically getting a lower protein count with like non-complete amino chains, and it was for like twice the price.
Right. It was definitely more expensive, like and less quality. Now, I mean, it's still maybe a little bit more expensive than whey protein, but the quality is pretty decent. I mean, shit, I take Orgain protein that I get from Costco. It's like less than $30 a bottle, and if I do three scoops, I'm getting 30 grams of protein per serving.
I think, yeah, that's actually, I mean, I feel like I need to like get a plant protein rotated in.
Just to try it out, see if you feel any different.
Yeah, maybe try it again, just see if there's something that I actually like. There was the funny thing about a couple of them is that they tried so hard to make it taste good that they would have like the powder. And I don't know if you ever had one that had like those chunks in it.
Oh, the flavor chunks?
Yes, they're like flavored. They were almost like freeze-dried fruit, I would say, is the best way to describe it.
Yeah.
But man, the consistency was all wrong as far as having those floating around in a shake.
Right. Yeah, I completely agree. Especially if you're trying to slam it, not good.
Yeah, maybe we're supposed to blend it. Maybe that's why. Maybe I was supposed to be using a blender and break those chips up or something, but I would use it just in a hand shaker, and it was just ugh.
Right. No, I'm with you on that, man. Not preferable.
Have you ever used egg white protein? Or dried or whatever it is.
I've tried the, what is it, the egg whites that they have in the containers. You know, it's like the mussel egg. Have you tried those?
No, I haven't.
It's like flavored egg whites that you get, and it's, bro, it's kind of gnarly. They come in like a plastic bottle, and you just pour them out. And some people, since they're pasteurized, they'll just drink it.
Oh, God.
They'll just like pour out 50 grams of protein and just slam that.
Oh, no.
And it's like strawberry flavored or whatever, and it's just like the consistency is gross, but the flavor is not bad.
That's weird. No, I'm talking about the they actually dry out eggs and they make a powder, and it's like a whole different protein powder.
I actually have that.
It's actually really good. Again, just very cost prohibitive and
super expensive, isn't it?
But it's super expensive. But the protein content is as good, if not better, than some whey proteins.
Arguably the most bioavailable.
And yes, so it's basically And honestly, I think there's a lot of arguments to be made that maybe we should not be drinking as much milk as we do. And although that's why isolates are great, but whey, if you can avoid it and do the egg base, it's actually pretty awesome.
I mean, the only issue is, or at least for some people, you can't absorb as much egg protein at one time because it's so dense.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like more than like 30 grams, you're going to be in the bathroom having some issues or something.
I mean, you could just spread it out throughout the day. It also tastes good because the thing is it almost tastes like nothing.
Right.
But somehow, I don't know how they did it. It maintained a certain level of creaminess, which I didn't expect from eggs.
That's true. And that's one good thing about the eggs and the blend proteins. Like just the blends in general of like either whey and casein or whey, egg, and casein protein. Like sometimes they'll do all three. Like that's what like BSN does, the red ones.
Yeah.
And then those ones, like they're supposed to have a slow release of protein like all day or something like that. You know?
Okay.
I don't know if I really buy that because what really sits in your stomach for all day?
It doesn't. Exactly. It just... No. I mean, I guess you could make the argument that as it's going through your digestive tract.
Yeah.
But it's a liquid.
That's the same as any food that does that.
Like, yeah.
You think a steak dissolves like immediately in your gut? No, it takes a while.
Download beef into
stomach.
So do you... I was actually on Instagram the other day and I saw someone trying to sell me collagen water.
Right.
And I've never really... used any of that. Do you have any can you enlighten me a little bit on what's it supposed to be like good for your nails and hair or something?
Right. So there's three different types of collagen. There's type 1, 2, and 3. If I remember correctly, type 2 is more for your hair, skin, and nails, and that's what a lot of people take in their beauty supplements. And then type 1 and 3 is more found in like your hyaline cartilage and joint tissue. So what that means is like you can either take them separately or take them together. Most people take them together because then it's a full protein.
Okay.
Yeah, and you can actually use that as a protein powder or protein supplement, but I don't think it's as amino acid focused as like a whey protein or an egg protein.
Yeah, collagen sounds like it's more of like actual supplement as far as, because I actually don't even really consider protein a supplement. I consider it like it's a
nutrition
food. It's a food.
Yeah, right.
Whereas collagen would probably be more of an actual supplement,
a little more on the supplement side, unless you're taking it as like a protein supplement, which can get pricey again.
I feel like I need to start asking around about that, if collagen actually works for people. I mean, I'm fortunate that I have like strong enough nails and my hair is sticking to my head still, so
right.
I don't know if the if collagen would be useful for me or not.
That there's plenty of that stuff. Like there's collagen, there's like B12 or no, not B12, biotin. That's what people take. It's like precursors for like building blocks in your hair, skin, and nails.
Oh wait, no,
like
I have biotin. Yeah, I have that because I have fish oil and that. I take that every morning. And then I don't know if the fish oil does anything. A lot of people say that's one of the few supplements that actually does something for them.
Yeah, well, just those health supplements in general. You know, I think that fish oil, multi antioxidants, a lot of those are used more of like a preventative health benefit as opposed to like, you know, this is going to like make me, you know, feel better today.
Yeah, you don't get like results from, I think one of the things that was really shocking for me with the multivitamin is that you actually have to be taking it for, I think, 6 months before your body finally starts like catching on to what's going on, apparently, because it's such a high concentrate. It would happen, and this is just something I read online about like a one a day men's,
right?
You're like, okay, yeah, like take it for 6 months and then keep taking it, and then your body will kind of get on track with the fact that you're pumping a bunch of vitamins, because your body immediately is just like, cool, well, this is dissolved in water, I guess I'll just pee it out and take some of it with me. But you're kind of retraining your body to use that more appropriately. And like, it's funny because I think everyone starts taking like a one a day and they don't feel any different.
Of course not.
As they're going on, it's like, well, I mean, I took it and it didn't do anything for me, so I guess I'll just forget about it. The I think the one that was the funniest for me as far as the multivitamins go, have you taken animal packs?
Oh, yeah, I've definitely taken animal. Shit, I still take animal pack.
Dude, every... God.
I love it.
I think the last time I took an animal pack, I was a freshman in college.
You want one, bro?
I kind of do. I kind of do. I just want to piss Mountain Dew.
Just so you guys know, animal pack is like a bodybuilding marketed multivitamin, and it comes in like this little plastic bag with 11 pills
with
in
11
it.
Pills, and they're horse pills. I'm talking like right. There's like multiple pills in this that are very large. It is not fun, and they all taste bad. They smell bad. They taste bad.
Don't even bite them. Don't even.
The funny part about it though is that when you take it, you feel it's a multivitamin. You're not suddenly going to feel awesome all day,
right?
But when you go to the bathroom that day, especially the first time you take it, when you urinate, you're going to piss Mountain Dew.
Shrek's piss.
It's actually one of the funniest things that I could ever see. And the hilarious thing about having this Mountain Dew Shrek piss is that that's with one pack a day. If you actually look at the container, it tells you that you should actually take two a day if you're competitive.
Oh my God. Isn't that nuts? Like, do you know anyone who's ever done two a day?
I've never met anyone. I've never met anyone who actually still uses them.
Now
you have. So I'm actually a little bit shocked. I'm impressed with you.
Bro, I feel so healthy on those. I'm not going to lie. Like, I swear, everyone I know is sick. I'm not sick.
I think I might need to hop back on the train that I'm going to order some, because things I do remember, I used to not get sick in college. And the thing is, I was sleeping like 5 hours a night and doing all this stuff around all these other people who probably could have got me sick. Maybe I'm missing something. Maybe it's like being overfed. It's like going to the gym with like too much food in your body and you're like pretty strong. Maybe it's like being overfed in nutrients.
I'm taking them every other day. I'm not even taking it every day because I feel like because my piss is so Shrek-like and, you know, neon that I'm clearly overdoing it on the supplements or the vitamin B, at least, you know.
You're telling your kidneys to go kick rocks because we're about you're man, I wonder, oh wait, is that what you at risk of, like a kidney stone?
I wonder if it would affect that or not. I don't know if it's proven, but I wonder if it,
you know, I guess if you drink a lot of water, you'll be fine. I mean, there's people who drink basically only Pepsi and they don't get that many kidney stones.
Right. That many.
I'm stealing an animal pack for you today.
Yes.
I'm probably gonna,
tell me how you feel. I bet you'll feel healthy AF.
I'm powerful already. I mean, why do people do steroids? They should just take animal packs.
I swear, man. I love them. I've been taking it.
Okay. So we're, We've confirmed that fish oil probably does some stuff, makes your hair silky, and multivitamins are apparently mm-hmm. better than steroids and cure illnesses. What is your opinion on antioxidants?
Okay, so like fish oil is an antioxidant. Well, fish oil actually is kind of an antioxidant because like those omega-3 fats can have antioxidant properties.
Can we define what an antioxidant is?
Basically, it has a negative charge, so it can accept an electron, which is a free radical inside your cell. And a free radical, what it's doing is it's causing damage to your DNA on a cellular level where it causes potential errors in the code, which can cause cancer. That's why antioxidants are bad. But apparently new studies are saying that if you take too much antioxidants, you can actually detrain your body's ability to naturally antioxidize. You know, it's just like if you take steroids or there's no winning. Right. So basically what science says is you need to just eat healthy, nutritious foods, and then you'll do everything will work.
I'm genuinely shocked. I wish you could see my face right now. I am in awe at this revelation.
Right?
Well, it's funny because when we talk about oxidants, oxygen, like a fire, it's a chemical process involving oxygen. So we're oxidizing at any given moment. So at a cellular level, we're like on fire being destroyed by oxygen.
Oxygen is literally killing us.
Some people think that if they eat enough elderberries and I guess take enough fish oil that they can somehow undo this process. And I found it to be a little bit silly. Now hearing you explain it the way it does, it makes more sense. It's basically just like maybe lowering the percentage chance that you have one of those errors by maybe like a couple points of percentages.
It helps your body's ability to naturally, you know, correct for those errors.
Okay.
That's what it's supposed to do. But what this is doing, multivitamin, fish oil, antioxidants, doesn't matter. What it does is it fills in any of those gaps. Like say you're getting 98% of your required nutrition from your diet. And, you know, that's giving us a lot of credit. Right. So it's like you're getting 98%. And you're taking a multivitamin that has like all this extra stuff and you're pissing out 98% of it, but you're not taking it for 98%. You're taking it for that 2% you're missing.
Okay.
So that's what all this stuff is for. And I think antioxidants, unless you have some concern, I think that could be mostly covered by your multi and a healthy diet.
Yeah. I've been trying to be better about like having like a salad a day. Mm-hmm. I feel like none of us get enough vegetables. That's why we need the multivitamins and
right.
like vitamin D and everything. It's, you know, stuff like that can easily snowball and like low testosterone and everything. So I think it's smart to be getting those extra things. Now, I'd like to throw another curveball at you.
Right.
Because I was already a naysayer of antioxidants. And while you've explained it to me and I'm a little bit more on the side of it, nootropics.
Okay.
First, explain what a nootropic is so that people understand.
Well, there's a couple different forms. There's some that, similar to like your multivitamin, they provide nutrients and precursors that your body already uses and makes so that you have, you know, an abundance and an optimal amount to function properly. And then there's also nootropical stimulants. And those ones are like more of, you know, the sketchier ones or like some of the, you know, different types of caffeine or neuro-exciting type stuff. So what I've actually had some good results from nootropics. Which ones have you tried? You haven't enjoyed them?
So I've tried the nootropic from BPN.
Okay.
I've tried another. I'm trying to remember
BPN?
Who it was from. Yeah, BPN is the guy, what's his name? Nick Bear.
He's try the to look it up.
Former Ranger dude. His products are pretty good. His protein tastes really good. And his pre-workouts are really high in caffeine, which I like them. I can't remember the other type I had. For me, I viewed them as, because each of them had a caffeine supplement. So I viewed it as like a replacement for a cup of coffee, but I prefer coffee. So why would I do that?
Oh, yeah.
I have to qualify that by saying that, you know, I actually have been, you know, diagnosed with ADD at the age of 24. The doctor's like, wow, I don't know how you got through college. But, and, you know, so basically for me, focusing is a little bit more of a precarious situation, so I don't know that, you know, a powder that I'm going to get from a guy on Instagram is going to suddenly make me focus better. Are you pulling up like the ingredients list right now?
Oh yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
Okay, what do you got to say on this?
Okay, so I'm taking a look right off the bat. 150 milligrams of caffeine, so a cup and a half of coffee right there. Plus, it has this neurofactor 100 milligrams, which is derived from whole coffee fruit, and increase in levels of mental focus, clarity, energy, blah, 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 all the stuff, etc. So two forms of caffeine right there, just in this one pill. So basically, that I can see why you're feeling stimmed out from it, you know?
Yeah.
You're right. Coffee can be better if that's what you enjoy. And I haven't really enjoyed those caffeine-based ones as much either, unless it's like taken in pre-workout form, you know?
Yeah.
Have you ever tried Noontropics pre-workout?
I have not.
That's something you might want to try, just because it helps you like get in, you know, robot Terminator mode.
Yeah, well, I have a prescription for that.
I feel you. Yeah. I wonder if you would enjoy both at the same time ever, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. It's one of those things, like nootropics are one of those things where it's like a BCAA. It's like, it might help to a certain degree, but ultimately you're paying at least like $1 per serving. True. And it's just, is it helping you that much? And do you care about it that much?
At least $1 per serving.
It's just another tropical flavored powder for me to drink with during caffeine the day that might help or may not.
I feel you. And especially if you have a prescription for that, that's going to be better than anything you can buy.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a weird thing. I'd like to meet someone who can, like, who says that they take it and they confirm. And I also don't want them to be sponsored by it or be selling it. Because everyone you see who says that they work is someone who's sponsored or selling the product. So I very rarely see someone who doesn't have some kind of skin in the game saying that a nootropic is something that's good.
So this is how I take it, and this is what I like. I don't take the ones that have stimulants in it. I take the ones that are more of the, you know, good precursors for neurotransmitters, or, you know, healthy for brain function and health. You know, more of like a multivitamin for your brain is how I think about it.
Yeah.
You know, it has all those precursors and nutrients in there. And the one I've actually been doing lately that I've actually been, I think it helps with memory in general, is it's the lion's mane mushroom extract.
Have you heard of that one? Yeah, I have heard about that one.
Yeah, I've been taking that for like a good 6 months now, and I feel more mentally clear. Even if it's placebo, it still works.
Yeah,
I'm still noticing something from that.
If placebo works, it works. I'm never gonna stomp on that, because who cares as long as it's working.
It's supposed to help with, they claim that it helps with your body's ability to myelinate your nerves, which
myelinate?
Means myelinate. Yeah, myelination. It's the term where it puts fat around your nerves to insulate it, so it sends a faster signal. So what that means is every time that you do a bicep curl, you're sending a signal from your brain to your bicep to flex, right? Now, every time you do that, it gets more insulated by fat. And the more insulated it is, the faster and stronger the signal. So what I see is, if you have a faster and stronger signal to a muscle, then you're going to make more gains.
I don't know enough about fat cells around nerves to argue that at all, but you know what? If you're saying that having my nerves be dummy thick is going to make them better, I think that's, you know, that sounds like it's going to work. It sounds good.
Right. I feel like it helps me at least stay focused on a, you know, on the muscles and my muscle connection. So that's why I take it.
See, I actually like your reasoning for it better than, because if you're selling it to like someone who's like in finals, it's like, yeah, this nootropic will like increase your memory and your like ability to execute. I just start getting the snake oil salesman feeling.
Right.
It's like, oh, okay, you're gonna solve all my problems, Mr. Right. Man, with your powder. Okay.
Right.
I guess, you know, but a lot of them just have a lot of caffeine in them. So it's, I guess that brings us to like pre-workouts.
Oh, yes.
So I think we talked about, you said that you've been drinking a few too many energy drinks during the day. Are you still taking pre-workouts these days?
Oh, man. I take pre-workout like twice a week, because I honestly have so much caffeine coming from other sources that it's just not worth it to like really throw two, you know, bombs of caffeine into my system like that a day.
Yeah, I usually don't take it these days, mostly because I work out in the evenings, mm-hmm. and I already am terrible at falling asleep in the first place, so I don't need another thing complicating that.
So true, man.
If I'm getting to the gym in the middle of the day, I'll take some pre-workout, and it's not even the caffeine that I'm there for. I'm more of a beta-alanine guy. Mm-hmm. Some people hate the itch, but I love it.
I love it.
Oh, man, it just increases the workout for me. I have something to chase after. But it's one of those things I find funny about pre-workouts is that is probably the number one supplement that it seems like everyone who has over 100,000 followers as a Fitspo suddenly comes out with a pre-workout.
Right. That or a protein, right?
Yeah. I'm either going to sell you a shirt, some pants or workout pants, and some pre-workouts. That's just how it goes.
Right. Yeah. I mean, pre-workout, I'd say that's usually where, you know, outside of the protein, where the bro gets started, you know, in their, you know, supplement venture.
I think the cost of entry is lower.
So low.
The production. And also, it's like you said, it's so fun. Protein comes from those two sources that are both, you know, Western countries that are developed and are probably very expensive because the employment is everything. You can get your pre-workouts coming out of like China and stuff, which makes it super sketchy.
Right.
And it's, again, it's not a regulated industry for a large part of it unless you get caught putting meth in it or something, but
I'll talk about that later.
Oh, what?
Right. But yeah, pre-workouts, they've changed a lot. And I think that, you know, for the most part, it's for the better. What they have now and a lot of the popular pre-workouts are what's known as full serving pre-workouts, which, like, that's why they're so big scoops nowadays. You know, it has a full serving of BCAAs. It has a full serving of vasodilators, of creatine, and like 3 cups of coffee worth of caffeine. So, you know, that's pretty intense, right?
Yeah, man, that's pretty freaking intense. Actually, you know, speaking of like high caffeine, have you ever used a thermogenic or anything like that?
Yes, I've definitely tried some. You know, have you seen the meme where it shows like the SpongeBob like with the big eyes and he's just like laying down and it's like, when you take so much caffeine, you just have to focus on not dying.
Yeah.
Have you ever been there?
Or the other one where it's a skeleton, it's like, me, anxious, takes caffeine, me, anxious, but fast.
Yeah, heart rate intensifies. Yep. Yes, I'm pretty sure most bros have had that experience at least once.
Well, did the thermogenics actually work? Because I don't think they work. I've seen people say they do, but I just don't buy it.
I mean, does it increase the amount of calories that you burn while you take it? Probably.
Like,
I mean, it's
200,
like up to
300.
Even like 10%, which could be like 200. You're right, like, yeah. 200 calories. But guess what? That's like one Oreo. No. So, maybe 2 Oreos, like something like that, right? So it's like very, very insignificant, and especially if like you're doing it for like 2 months in a row, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden you stop, well, guess what? Those 200 calories got to come from somewhere else.
So basically your body gets hot, it raises the temperature, basically, you know, calories are fuel, so we're basically just throwing a little bit more coal on the fire,
right?
But at the end of the day, if you're already at a caloric deficit, it might just give you 200 calories more to burn.
I think if you're using it like as you would like a coffee or like a pre-workout, mm-hmm. I think it's perfectly fine. There's no issues with it. And I think you can get benefit from it in more intense training sessions. But like if it's, you know, something you're doing that has an appetite suppressant, I feel like that's going to do nothing but hurt you. If anything, if you've dieted correctly and you're not doing like a fasting thing, then you have to eat frequently.
Like what's something in there that could be like a diet suppressant? Because when I think diet suppressant, I think like cigarettes.
That's classic army.
It's like when you're like early college army, it's just yeah. Like I lived off pretzel sticks and cigarettes for the last 3 months.
Dip and cigarettes. Yes. Well, there's a couple appetite suppressants out there. Saffron is a natural diet suppressant or appetite suppressant. So like is fiber. A lot of people put a bunch of non-digestible fiber in like a shake and that fills up your stomach.
Oh, didn't you just do that with like vegetables?
Yeah, yeah, like cucumber.
Yeah, it's just like broccoli. I don't know. Oh, no, broccoli has carbs in it.
It does, but it's like celery. So hard. Broccoli is a good one to do
it. They say that celery burns more calories when you're chewing it than you actually get from it.
Yeah, but that's a lot of work
and you
gross.
Can throw some peanut
celery
butter on there.
Celery is gross, bro. When's the last time you tried to eat celery by itself?
It's not bad. Have you like? When's the last time you got wings?
Yeah, but I'm dunking that in ranch.
No, put it in like the sauce, which has butter in it. I'm losing my own argument. I can't defend this anymore. Celery sucks.
Yeah, but basically the thermogenics, I think if it doesn't inhibit you from eating your meals like and continuing to fuel your metabolism, I think they're fine.
I think that the one thing I think that you need to be careful with is dehydration because,
right.
Again, the military, we're all a bunch of geniuses, but you know we're out there like in the sun all day dehydrating and some guy's like red as a beet and I'm sitting there like, are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. I just took one of my thermogenics. Like, dude, we're out in the sun for like the next 10 hours.
Right.
And you should be chugging water. He's like, oh, well, I'm chugging water. I just keep pissing it out. And I'm sweating. You don't need a thermogenic if you're already out in the sun. That counts as a thermogenic, frankly.
Right. You're on your feet moving around and outside. Yeah.
Okay. I guess that's so we've decided that thermogenics are not going to solve our problems, but
nah.
They have a use.
Just like anything, it has a place, but it's not going to make or break your gains. Ever.
Okay. Have you ever used an ECA stack? I had to do some research on this, and I actually tried it myself.
Yeah. Let's tell the listeners.
Well, actually,
about
explain
it.
What an ECA stack is. It sounds like what you're talking about.
So, ECA stack, this is like where you're starting to, you know, play the mad scientist with your supplements here. You know,
we're getting real Trailer Park with this.
Exactly. That's in that direction, Breaking Bad style. So, it's like you're combining three ingredients that you can get at a store together to create a more potent fat burner. And what people do is they combine an ephedrine type product, like Sudafed for cold, about 25 milligrams. And then they'll include caffeine, about 100, 200 milligrams of caffeine. And then other people will also include about 100 milligrams of aspirin in there as well. But I don't know, the research is like conflicting on that part.
Well, yeah, we talked about that. I did an ECA stack briefly, and I felt like it just didn't do a lot for me. Mm-hmm. The A in the stack, they're basically saying that you don't, if as long as you have the ephedrine and the caffeine, it pretty much does what it's supposed to do. Right. The aspirin is supposed to extend its ability to get in your body. I think what we need to clarify with the ECA stack is, for me, it didn't work. And the reason for that is that typically you're supposed to do it in tandem with cardio.
Right.
And of course, if I'm taking a bunch of caffeine, I'm not going to take that in the afternoon, but that's typically when I go on my runs or I go work out.
Mm-hmm.
So taking it during the day, I just had kind of a caffeine boost and nothing happened. I think what needs to be clear about that is you used to be able to buy an ECA stack and an actual
right.
product from like GNC anywhere.
It's called HydroxyCut.
Is that HydroxyCut?
That was the original HydroxyCut.
Oh, okay. Well, so it was a thermogenic that worked. The problem was, and I might sound insensitive with this, is some gentleman took a bunch of it and he was
like
highly
eight.
Overweight and he died. He had a heart attack. He had a pre-existing condition and he was very dumb about it. Of course, you know, being that we are America, we reacted very heavily to this, and we said,
overreacted.
We're not going to have this at all, and we're going to completely remove it from shelves because one person died, and it's a not very well-regulated industry, so honestly, it was the U.S.
Not worth
us.
The trouble to like regulate it and make it, you know, a product. It's much easier to just ban
it. Stomp
it
out.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things you have to be careful with, and it's like anything. You can't just solve all your problems with a pill. I found that it didn't do anything. Did it do anything for you when you used it?
Yeah. Well, I actually took it pre-cardio. Yeah, that's because the research that I did said that it needed to be taken with cardio because what it does is it helps your body better target those fat cells that you store around your midsection. So, I mean, that's like a trouble area for me. So I try and like, you know, blast that area as hard as I can. I know like spot reducing doesn't really exist, but it's like, you know, if it increases circulation to your fatty tissue, then it's going to help. You're going to be able to burn more of those fatty acids while you're working out.
Okay, so final thoughts on ECA stack. It's a thermogenic that works, but you might die.
You might die. Well, yeah, don't be stupid about it. Do it with slow, steady state cardio or like, you know, a slow hike or something like that. You know, not when you're like doing intervals or sprints or squats.
I also feel the need to acknowledge that talk to your healthcare provider before doing anything stupid.
Right.
And they might tell
this
you.
Isn't advice. This is entertainment only.
Exactly. At the end of the day, it's just, you know, your doctor might be cool about it. It's like, yeah, I mean, you'll probably be fine. Or he might tell you like, you know, some shit that we don't know.
Yeah.
Don't take this word as gospel, especially on stuff like this.
We're not legally able to give you nutrition or supplement advice. So we're just telling you what other people have done, not what you should do.
Yeah. Honestly. Wow. Well, now that we're fully awkward on that, let's talk about something that works and doesn't sound scary. Creatine.
Right. The most studied supplement in the whole world.
I love creatine. I fucks with creatine. I think it's one of the best things.
I think that creatine is good because it's safe, it's cheap, it's easy, and it actually does something based on science. But
gives me a mean pump.
When, you know, you see people who are like, oh, I'm going to stay natty because I'm going to never do creatine. It's like, you're giving creatine a little too much credit there.
I was saying, like, if not being on creatine makes you not natty, then... Hell yeah, brother. I'm not natty ever.
Creatine does a little, but it's like, again, you don't need it. It's really a minor addition to your whole package.
Okay, yeah, it's... okay, can we... I think you can give a better explanation on this. What does creatine actually do for those that don't have a big clue on it?
So you have three energy systems in your body. You have one that's really fast, one that's more medium to like in between like strength and cardio, and then one that's like long endurance, for cardio. And what your body does is it starts with the fast, powerful one, and it slowly works to the slow one. So creatine is like basically a battery for your muscles. And what happens is in the first 5 seconds of exercise, you use up all those energy from the creatine and you don't have it anymore. So it like it helps that recharge a little bit faster and helps you have a little bit more of that super fast initial energy push.
Okay.
That's what it does.
And then there's always that thing that like everyone's mom was worried about where it was like, it's going to dehydrate you and ruin right. your kidneys. So it pulls a lot of water into your muscles and that's where you get that nice pump from and everything. Mm-hmm. And I think that I never got dehydrated off of it. But I also drink a fair amount of water.
Right.
Is there actually a legitimate risk of dehydration on creatine?
Yeah. I mean, if you're chronically dehydrated and you're throwing creatine in there as well, it's going to put even more of a strain on your kidneys. And another thing is a lot of people back in the day, what they used to say is you had to load creatine,
it's not back in the day. The container still says to do a loading period.
My God. It's a tactic. It's a marketing tactic to use it up faster. You don't need to load it. Just take it consistently. And like people will try and take like 30 grams in a day. And of course that's going to fuck you up. If you're not drinking up water, you're taking 30 grams of,
you're supposed to take like five, aren't you?
Between 2 to 7 grams is based on body weight is usually what's recommended. And if you can take it every day for pretty much your whole life at that level. Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's funny because they have all these creatines out of different price range. As long as it has, what is it? A creatine monohydrate.
That's the base one.
The base. Yeah. As long as it has the 5 milligrams of that, you have good creatine.
Right.
There. You don't need to buy an expensive special brand. I mean, maybe alkaline. They have some other stuff inside of it.
Yeah.
As long as it has that creatine monohydrate, you can buy the cheapest thing from Costco, from Amazon, from where it's a quality product. That's why I think creatine's awesome, because you really can't lie about it.
Let's talk about creatine bloat a little bit. This is one of those things that it always triggers me. What do you think?
It depends on what you mean by it. Because when I take creatine, I get a little bit of a tummy ache. And for like a few minutes, it kind of screws with my gastric tract for a little while. But once I've been taking it consistently, and usually I try and take it with something,
right?
So better digestion, better digestion source, everything, get some sugars involved with it. But I kind of get a little bit engorged only for like the first couple weeks, and then my body kind of forgets about it,
right?
So what are you talking about with the bloat?
People are like, oh, I don't take the creatine monohydrate, or I don't take creatine in general because I'm afraid it's going to make me bloated and look bad. It's like people who think that it's going to do that, they're like, you're either already fat or it's like you're about to step on stage. And it's like the amount of bloat and visible changes you see from creatine is invisible and unnoticeable under 10% body fat.
Well, you can also just stop taking creatine like a week or two before a show.
Right, that's what everyone does.
I just don't see the problem with this. If you're trying to stay dry, of course stop taking creatine, holds on to water.
Yeah.
It's
a misconception again, because people used to load 30 grams with sugar.
People don't worry
imagine
about
doing that.
HGH gut. It's stuff right? like that.
That's bloat. That's a real problem.
That's a real bloat. I don't know. I feel like any issues with creatine, it just comes from misinformation.
Right.
Because it's just one of the easiest things you can take, and it works.
So cheap. It's like $10 for like 100 servings.
Yeah, and honestly, it's another tool in the box. It's only going to give you a couple percent boost in any way. So it's not like, man, I'm taking creatine now, I'm going to get strong.
Right.
It's not going to solve all of it.
It won't. It won't solve anything, but it's fun. You know, you can feel a little more powerful.
Okay, powerful. You want to be as strong as a bull shark, as a silverback gorilla. You want to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
All the commercials that say stuff like that are typically selling one thing. And we're talking testosterone boosters.
Yeah, take your tribulus and boost your test.
We're the cream of the crop. I've never taken a testosterone booster, but I had a couple guys in college I knew who were taking it, and I don't think they got stronger. I think they just became assholes for a short amount of time.
Were they taking like tribulus or some GNC thing, or were they taking like something sketchy?
Dude, I don't know. It had like freaking flames and metal on the boxes, and like freaking if you opened it up, it was playing Slayer. Like,
did it have like some chemical name to it?
Dude, I don't know. It was just I looked at it and I was just like, this looks like it was designed by a 14-year-old goth.
Mm-hmm.
For the branding, and I'm not putting this in my body.
That's funny.
So have you ever taken testosterone boosters?
Yeah, I've tried a couple of them. I've tried, Tribulus. I tried the, what was it, Dim. I've also tried the deer antler velvet one. And like a couple other like animal stack. You know what I'm talking about?
We
like
the animal packs.
Yeah, I took those. And like I didn't notice anything because it wasn't for me. I was like a 20, 25 years old taking this stuff, and my testosterone levels were already at their peak. It's like I didn't need any more of a boost. And it's like, it's more for someone who's like has naturally low levels.
That's,
you know,
my way of looking at it. If you're in your 20s, you already make testosterone. Mm-hmm. If you are in your 40s, you're coming down, it's relevant for you and it's something that could be helpful. And I think that it has its uses because, you know, your body's not producing it. But then again, that should be a conversation with your doctor, not some weird thrash metal branding that, you know, you find in the back corner of GNC.
Mm-hmm.
That's...
Anyways, like Dr. Lane talks about this a lot on Instagram. He says that like elevating your testosterone, even up to 40%, which is like arguably like the max that they can raise it,
mm-hmm.
Does nothing for your gains in the long term because it's like a minor short-term change. The reason why people who take steroids get hit big gains is because they're pumping their body full of that hormone for weeks and months, like months in a row. And that's why it makes changes. If you're taking a supplement for 30 days, once a day, twice a day, that's not doing shit.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm trying to think because it's like you could just go take like a vitamin D supplement. I learned that recently. My testosterone levels were low and they said it's because I didn't get into the sun enough because we live in Phoenix and it's hot and going into the sun is death. And basically, like if you feel like you're feeling low T and you're younger, just go take a vitamin D supplement. You need that for hormones. Getting your testosterone, hormones, and everything. You know,
that's a good point.
Eat well. Go to the gym. Try and have a healthy sex life.
Sleep.
I think your testosterone. Sleep. What? That'll probably, you know, set your testosterone levels really well. But I can say right now, I don't think I've ever met somebody who is actually strong who said, yeah, I just take my testosterone booster and that gets me over the hill.
Right.
And the couple times that they did say it, I'm just like, oh, you're saying testosterone booster.
But you mean
steroids.
Yeah. Capital S.
Yes. Well, speaking of that group, let's go ahead and give the payoff. We've been talking about this all day. The old school supplements, the really sketchy shit.
Yes.
What is your first one you want to bring to the table?
All right. So this is a classic for all you guys out there. I'm sure everyone's at least heard the legend of Jack 3D. You guys know what I'm talking about?
Hell yeah. It's what Hyde wishes it was.
Right. It's what every pre-workout, you know, wishes it was. You know, those memes where it's like your girl, her dad, her ex-boyfriend.
Her ex is Jack 3D.
Yeah, her ex is Jack 3D.
Your C4, her ex-boyfriend is Jack 3D.
Yes.
He's in prison now, but he's good looking and he's stronger than you.
Oh, yeah, and he's aesthetic AF. Yeah, so Jack 3D was like, I would say, the peak of pre-workouts back in ever. I mean, that stuff was developed by, like, at some university, like some credible university, these students, they made this, and it was literally a couple molecules off of a methamphetamine.
It's funny that we have to clarify that now. It's like, this was not made by some guy on Instagram who's
right.
really strong.
It was made at a fucking University of California or something like that.
And so it was basically a couple molecules off from meth, which is basically like Adderall, Ritalin, all of those. They're all kind of like types
pretty much the
of
same.
Sort of meth-ish,
yeah.
Or at least they're in the same family tree. So essentially we had pseudo-meth in a powdered form that you mixed in water and you went and tore it up at the gym.
Right.
Which I think is just
I used great. To have like 3-hour workouts. What about you?
Man,
like
I was
in
young,
there for like 3 hours.
So I was stupid and I took it and I did my normal workout and then I was just jazzed up the rest of the day. And I was just fucking moving.
Right.
Because I was, at that point, I wasn't heavy enough. It was not for me. It was not something I should. I do remember when it suddenly fell off the market. I wasn't paying too close attention. I just remember, like, you couldn't find
it
anymore. And
everyone was looking for it.
So upset.
Everyone was looking for it.
It just flew away in the night, and suddenly it wasn't available to anybody.
Mm-hmm. It was great, too, because it was like, now they make some that are similar that still have, like, different versions of that meth knockoff. And it's
can
like,
can you get them in the United States?
Yeah, you can. They're just like, it's different versions of that molecule.
Oh, so it's only going to be a matter of time before they become
the FDA
illegal
knocks
too.
It off. Yeah. Yeah, it's just, yeah. So basically now
you're wired all day if you take one of those, where it's like the Jack 3D, you take it, you'd be wired for 4 hours, and then you just crash and go to sleep. It was great.
I'm going to tell you right now, it's not good for you. I'm just going to... I feel like we're doing a really good job for like, this is the best. It was not good for you. People were taking it every single day, and at the end of the day, they sort of had a meth addiction.
Right, that's true.
And it was not good. You weren't sleeping well. It was actually, you know, it had an adverse effect on your recovery process.
That's true. That was later research that came out. Your
body's trying to like get that shit out of there, but god damn it, was it badass.
Oh, it was so much fun. I would say some of the most fun workouts of my life, you know, because I was methed up, basically.
Exactly. It's just like, you fucking get after it. It's awesome.
Yeah.
I saw that you wrote down plasma jet. I actually don't know anything about that.
That was another good one. Now, that one, I don't know, honestly, what was in there, but I'll tell you a story. I was in, this is from Gaspari Nutrition, back in like 2009, I was in Afghanistan and we were like ordering supplements and working out and trying to be beasts because we're like, you know, fighting the Taliban on mountains, basically.
Yeah.
So, I remember ordering this and it was like super, like sick, nasty pumps, extreme endurance, you know, fast recovery.
Sign me up.
Yeah. And I was like, ooh, this sounds like fun. And you'd get it. And it was a blister pack of like 8 pills. Clear that like had like what looked like blood in them.
What the fuck? That sounds right. Badass. It sounds cool.
And it says, do not take more consecutive days in a row ever.
Wait, it's like, you're only supposed to take one and you can't take the next day?
No, you take the whole blister pack and then it's 8? Like all 8 and then you don't take another dose for 24 hours. You like, it says, do not take another dose.
How many doses came in a box?
It was like a month's worth. It was like one of the, it was like a carton. It came in like a carton.
That's 8? Clear 8 pills.
Well, look at Animal Pack. It's 11.
I know, but did each pill pack have the same stuff in it?
Yeah, it was the same exact thing, and it was like this red liquid. And
why didn't they just have like one big pill, or you take it like, I don't know, I guess.
I don't know. They're trying to make it look like clinical or something.
It sounds badass.
Yeah,
it
so like I would some take shit like it.
A vampire would take.
And I would get the most ridiculous pumps from that. Like, it was insane. It was like, I remember my arms would be like stuck like this, and like I couldn't put them down.
You're walking like, around like you're... old-fashioned
like
cowboy.
My actual lats were like propping me up.
I'm just kidding. This right now. Plasma.
It was nuts, man. I don't know. There might have been something sketchy in it because people got like overly pumped from that stuff.
I mean, is it illegal now?
Oh yeah, it was taken off the market so fast.
Oh, what was in it then?
I don't know.
It was called Plasma Jet, right?
Yeah, Gaspari Nutrition Plasma Jet.
Gaspari. That's probably what I'm doing. Gaspari. That's. Yeah, I can find box. It looks very clinical. It looks like it's. All of this looks super legit from what I'm seeing. But
probably had like some type of pro hormone or something in there.
I hope so. Probably like freaking horse steroids or something.
Maybe like some sketchy stuff. But basically it's like they sold that and for like a year and then they just like it disappeared from the market forever.
I'm wondering, scholarly articles for Plasma Jet discontinued. Is Plasma Jet discontinued? Not anymore. Gaspari Nutrition.
Oh yeah, they're coming out with like another version. Jet.
Ooh, we're back.
No way it's as good. That stuff was crazy.
Oh, man, I should have researched this before I got in here because now I'm wondering what the hell happened to it.
Right.
All right, we'll talk about that. We'll bring that up later.
There's one more sketchy one, and this is a newer one, guys. This is one that, like, people are taking nowadays that, you know, people are talking about in, like, it's actually really big in CrossFit and big in, like, endurance sports. But these SARMs, they're...
SARMs.
Mm-hmm, it means selective androgen receptor modulators. And it's basically, like, a piece of a steroid that only, like, affects certain parts, where, like, a steroid will affect, like, your whole body, you know?
Okay, so where do you get SARMs?
Well, technically, I mean, since the FDA hasn't cracked down on them yet, you can get them at pretty much most supplement stores.
Okay,
now.
So what does it do? It's a steroid, but like kind of?
It's like if, say they take, a steroid does like 5 things, you know, and it one of those things is it helps your muscles get stronger.
Okay.
Right? This isolates it down to that one function.
So what's the downside? Because that's...
The downside is it's a little expensive, there's not much research behind it, and it's like, it's still... similar trade-offs to taking just doing real steroids. It's like it's superficial gains, you know. As soon as you're done with it, it's done with you and you're back to your old weak self.
I don't know, man. I'm like, I hear this and I feel like I've become very skeptical on all supplements.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, natty for life, I'm just gonna be a loser and not be that strong because I feel like I get to be on my high horse.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess we'll we'll close out the sketch section with, I cannot be clear enough with you guys. Jack 3D was hilarious. It was a good time, and I would love those times, but it was fucking bad for you.
Right, it was.
Plasma Jet.
Probably bad for you.
Sounds cool, but they took it off the market.
Pretty fast.
It's probably bad for you. Like, I don't think the FDA has ever been like, man, people like this too much.
Right.
We're just going to take it away from them. SARMs, I don't really know a lot about that. I think steroids in general are a slippery slope and silly in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
But probably not good for you. We here at Back in Session believe in the natty lifestyle, and you deal with the shitty genetics that your parents gave you, and you hope to get more powerful. But, right. You know, it's interesting. I think it's fun to know about these things so that you can
It's like fun, like, you know, like watching Narcos or something like that. It's like, ooh, there's like some like sketchy stuff out there.
And also, if someone offers you some weird shit, like, you should be aware of it. If someone's just like, oh, yeah, this is SARMs. It's not steroids. It'll just make you stronger. Like, you should be aware. Do your research.
Right.
Make sure you're aware of it so you're not know what happened in the past. Exactly.
People were taking all kinds of, like, shit. Here's a good story. Like, back in the day, they had something that preceded SARMs. It was just, they're called prohormones, and it was similar. It's like a modified steroid, basically. And those things got cracked down by the FDA. And what did companies do? They started chemically altering them so that it's a different molecule. But guess what? That made it more and more liver toxic, and people are getting fucked up from that.
And a lot of it comes from, like, China. So whenever a company is doing a battle with the FDA to continue to make a chain of a chemical and keep changing over and over and over, it's typically coming from, like, China, India, freaking Pakistan, some weird place in the, you know, in the East. And these people don't care if you get some kind of chemical injury. They're just trying to make the money in the short term, and they're going to keep sending that stuff over. So make sure you're getting stuff from a reputable source. I guess this moves into our what are your fave supplements? Just off the top of your head, what do you think is your daily drivers?
So the ones that I keep in my routine are I have a multivitamin. I like the Animal Pack one. Mm-hmm. I don't take it every time. I like to rotate, different ones, but. I'll also keep a protein powder, which we discussed. Feel like that's more nutrition than anything else. Yeah. I also do a one for, like, my liver and, like, my my skin. It's like, it's called NAC. It's an antioxidant, so that one's pretty good. And then besides that, I'll do a nootropic as well. I think lion's mane is the one that I'm enjoying the most right now.
Okay.
That one just helps with, like, memory and focus, and I enjoy it.
All right.
What about you? Which ones do you like?
I do, every morning I take biotin because I'm suspicious that I'm losing my hair.
Mm-hmm.
I take fish oil because they tell me it's good for me. However, I did a lot of research on it to make sure that I wasn't getting a cheap fish oil that had, like, what is it?
The right EPA and DHA?
Like, yeah, like, they had, like, hard metals and stuff inside of it, a lot of them.
Which one do you like?
I don't have the brand off the top of my head. I got it off of Amazon. I'll have to bring it up later.
Is it Carlson or Nordic Naturals?
I looked at both of those.
Those are both good ones.
I just went to a website and I went to Google and typed in, like, great high grade fish oil or whatever, and basically they'll kind of give you the rundown of what's gonna be good and bad for you, and it's pretty easy to figure it out. I was taking a multivitamin for a long time and I stopped. I think I'm going to try and pick up those Animal Packs again just to, like, see if it does anything for me. Makes me feel any better. Start pissing Mountain Dew again.
You're right.
But besides that, I'm typically taking a protein every single day. I'm not really too picky on it. I kind of rotate to different types because I don't really have any issues with it. And usually I do take a pre-workout. I take BPN personally just because it has a high beta alanine, high caffeine. But I do that very sparingly.
Like, not every day?
Not every day at all. Not even every week.
Yeah.
Basically, if I'm doing a middle of the day or early midday workout and I'm not really feeling it, that's usually a day that I'm like, all right, cool, let's hit the pre-workout, get it going.
I feel that. I mean, that's pretty solid. And I just want to reinforce that, like, you don't need supplements to make progress or even make good progress. It's such a minor part of all this. It's just like, I think it's more recreational and fun. Just like, you know, if you're like into archery or fly fishing, getting new gadgets for your rod or whatever, you know?
Yeah, it's a fun thing to do. It kind of becomes a hobby at some point. Right. Like, I know people who they borderline, like, collect different supplements.
Yeah. like, oh my God. And it's like, I got this whole tray of supplements. Shit, I used to be that guy when I worked at the vitamin shop. I was that guy.
It's, you had too much access.
Right? That discount. Once
you're
that
not
went away.
To get high on your own supply.
Oh, I was. I was breaking the 10 crack commandments for sure. Sorry, Biggie. I should have listened.
All right, man. Let's wrap it up. Let's go ahead and.
Let's hit the gym.
Oh, God. We do have to hit the gym. We're going to go eat first.
Oh, yeah, eat. That's important, guys. It's make sure you're fueled for your workouts.
Forget the supplements. I just need some food. Right. All right. So you can find us at our Instagram page, and that is
BNS_radio. Check us out on Instagram. Also, you can find the links to the podcast in all three of our bios, both the Instagram page, my Instagram, WKENDLE_MFT. And what's your Instagram?
And you can find me at Dimitri Sebastian. I am finally off private and I am now posting about the podcast. Yes. Guys, it is real. We are real boys and we're here to help you out. We'll talk to you next time. Thanks for coming.